Well, thank you, Sister Clark. God's word, sharper than any two-edged sword. All kind of testimonies about missionaries getting into places where they eat each other and getting the word of God out and changing a whole island or a whole nation in many cases. God's word. Amen. I want you to go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read about five verses. I'm going to speak to you a little bit on the biggest cover-up. Luke chapter 12. Let you find it with me. And it's not a long text this morning, just about five verses. All right. I can't hear your pages. I'm getting older. I can't hear them flipping out there. I'm going to have to get where you raise your hand when you get to the place or something. All right, good. Some of you don't know where the place is yet. Luke chapter 12, first five verses. In the meantime, you thought that started off with a Western book, didn't you? In the meantime. No, it's the Word of God. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leavening of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. That includes Facebook and all the rest of the stuff. Verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, the Lord Jesus has given these verses that we read because of something that happened in the last chapter. He's dealing with the Pharisees. If we were to back up into chapter 11 and pick up maybe the last couple of verses, verse 52, he says, woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. They're attacking him here. So in the verses we read in our text, he tells the disciples to beware of the leavening of the Pharisees. You see, here's what they were doing. They were locking up, he accused the lawyers there of locking up the knowledge. They were keeping it from the common people. They were covering it up. They were keeping their power and keeping their control, sort of like what we're seeing right now in government and certainly in our nation today. Cover-ups. Boy, we've learned anymore to be cautious about almost anything we hear. I was reading this week. In fact, I stuck it in my Bible. Here's just a sheet out of the Judicial Watch paper, and this is a good one to get if you can. Judicial Watch. Somebody gave me this one. This one, I believe I used to get it. Maybe they quit sending it because I quit paying. I don't know. But anyway, this is a good one. And right here, we have a judge in Florida that has a federal judge in Florida down here in South Florida that was appointed by Ronald Reagan. And he's causing the government and the FBI, Mr. Mueller, who's leading the charge now against the president, the investigation. Mr. Mueller was the head of the FBI at that time at 9/11. My wife and I were down that way that particular Tuesday when that thing hit. And here's what it was all about. The Saudis were in their wealthy house down there. And while all the rest of the planes were grounded, they were able to fly out. And it was a cover-up. big cover-up, and this kind of exposes it right here. And this federal judge now has ordered them to produce some papers that he knows they have. Kind of interesting. See, we've gotten so used to cover-ups till we got the cover-up covering up the cover-up. Is what we got going on now in our government, and it's pretty hard to keep it straight. But we're kind of used to that since the election. We found out that the deep state was deeper than we thought, and the swamp was more slimy than we thought it was. It needs draining, all right, brother, and all that. But we're seeing some things that just amazes me anymore. We got at least one party that's hunting votes anywhere they can get them, so they're letting the borders open and the illegals come in to vote. They're opening the prisons so the criminals can get out and vote. And did you hear this week they're talking about now lowering the age to 16 for voters? They're manipulating the kids beyond belief and using them, and yet that is so ridiculous. But and by the way, did you also see where they're going to sue Russia? How many of you saw that? I don't know if I'm talking to an intelligent audience this morning. Probably wasn't on the soap operas, but it was on some of the news. That is the most laughable thing. Hillary has used every excuse she could get for losing the election, and now they're going to sue Russia. I mean, that's really got Vladimir Putin really scared. I bet he lost sleep over that last night. Don't you think so? It's so silly. So stupid, silly. But you know what? The biggest cover-up's not what we're hearing about. The biggest cover-up, and has been going on for a long time, is we got a society trying to cover up the gospel, trying to cover up the good news of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ. We know that. We've seen it hidden in our schools for a long time. Outlawed. Amazing, man. I've known some cases where some of the old schools had Ten Commandments carved in the plaster of the wall. They couldn't tear the wall down, so they hung covers over it to cover it up. I mean, afraid the kids might read, "Thou shalt not kill," or "Thou shalt not steal," or "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Isn't that amazing? I mean, as they've hid the truth and the gospel, we've got the results that we are reaping as we've seen God take it out. The cover-up. A fellow by the name of John Freshman, I forget now what school he was in up north, he had a Bible on his desk, and they fired him because he had the Bible. They told him he couldn't have the Bible on his desk. Some kid might be influenced by the Bible. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? Be influenced by the Bible to quit lying, quit stealing, quit all the bad stuff. That'd just be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? But he got, by the way, he is suing them in court over it. I hope he wins. But that's ridiculous. The cover-up, trying to hide the things of God. Some of the emblems, some of the signs on city cars and county cars in the old days came back and represented. It might even have a cross in it. For instance, the city of Los Angeles, you know what that means, the city of the angels? You and I know it's fallen angels now, don't we? But I mean, that originally there was some good stuff back then, and all of a sudden it's under attack. Get rid of it, cover it up, it can't be seen. If it pertains to God, it's got to be eliminated out of society. That's exactly where we're at today. The cover-up is big, been going on for a long time. Sad to say, in politics, most politicians don't mind mentioning God. They don't even mind saying, "God bless you." Just leave Jesus out of it. Can't pray in his name. Can't mention him. I mean, that's the cover-up. That's the attitude that's been going. But folks, that was not so in history. Our foundation was built on Christianity, built on the Word of God, built on the principles and the truths, and what a difference it made. I'm going to just tell you something personally. When I came, of course, I know it's been a long time ago, right after Noah parked the ark, but I came to this little town in the third grade. And until I graduated high school, we lived in that house behind the dorm building here, the old hotel. And the house is still standing. We still use it. But I lived in that house. You know what? When we left, we didn't care. Now, there's two reasons for it, I guess. We didn't have to lock the doors. You didn't have to lock the back door, front door. You didn't have to do it. Now, somebody's going to say you didn't have anything in there worth stealing, and you're probably right. But that was the whole town. You didn't worry about it. You better lock the church doors now. It's amazing how things have changed. And the longer we've got the cover up of covering up the Bible, the gospel, the truth, the worse it's going to get. And that is the greatest cover up I could point to you. The politics of it today, to try to get rid of God. But it wasn't so in history. Look at the flag with me over there. If I was going to describe that flag, I'd say the red, white, and blue, wouldn't I? Do you ever wonder why we say red, white, and blue instead of blue, white, and red? Think about it a minute. Our forefathers said the red represented the blood. The white represented righteousness. And without it, you're not going to see the blue of the heaven. Red, white, and blue, and that order pictured the gospel. You go back to our foundation and you'll find out that this was the first textbook in the schools. You go back into our foundation and you see how our forefathers quoted. And I can show you in writing in the history books where it said that if a man was not a Christian, he might as well not even try to run for office. And I agree, that's the way it ought to be. Still today. It was not so in our history. There was no cover-up back then. John Adams, one of our forefathers, American forefathers, said this. He said, "Our Constitution is only made for moral, God-fearing people and is insufficient for any other kind." You know what he's saying? He's saying that our foundation had some principles of God in it, and for a moral, God-fearing people, the Constitution works. It will not work for crooks. It will not work for those that are against God. Principle-wise, do you know if America still, at this date, we're reaping good from our early foundation, even though there's a big mob out there trying to tear it down and destroy it? Do you know that you couldn't hardly even have a bank if people weren't halfway honest? And by the way, they have to take a lot of safeguards now. I'll never forget walking in one of the banks, the one we use here in town. When you walk in, have to stand still till the electronic thing opens the door again. Wow, how things have changed. But John Adams was right. We assumed folks wanted to do right. We assume some honesty because it came from the Word of God. It came from the principles of Christianity. I want to say to you, though society has long been trying to hide the gospel, and they've reaping for what they've hid, for the lack of it being in the hearts of people. I want to say that churches are just about as guilty. I know we live in the last days, the Laodicea and the lukewarm church area. I know that, but churches have hid the gospel. And in hiding it, they've put a substitute in its place. And you know, the average thing you hear today in a lot of big buildings is be good, do this, do that. Deeds, works. Paul said in Galatians 1, if you preach any other gospel than that that I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. And you can't have the gospel of green replacing the gospel of blood. You can't have this business worship earth, Gaia earth, instead of the Lord God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, without there being some bad consequences from it. And that's what we're reaping today. Well, you say, preacher, don't you believe in saving the planet? I want to tell you something. God put this planet here to last as long as he wants it to. You say, but climate change. Oh, go nail your tongue to a post and walk off. Ridiculous junk. I was in the regular newspaper where that Al Gore and Robert Kennedy Jr., they're into this big climate change. They had to change it from global warming, didn't they? Yeah, in fact, I just left New York Monday and Tuesday. Those folks don't believe in global warming. They'd like to see some global warming up there. I'll guarantee you they would. But I saw where those two birds and some others of that crew are saying they ought to be able to pass laws to arrest people like me that deny it. And I do deny it. Very big. I do deny it. You know what God said to Noah? He said it would continue to be seed time and harvest, cold and hot. Basically, he said the seasons will keep going till the end of time. I'll take God's word on it, what he told Noah, over Al Gore anytime. Amen. But I know I passed some churches, got signs on it, and some of you ain't gonna like me for saying this. Earth Day. How about Jesus Day? How about Gospel Day? Earth Day. I want to tell you something. Even if they improve the planet, the improvers won't be here that long. The truth is, it's going to last as long as God intended for it to. That's all there is to it. And brother, but when you get rid of the real gospel, you're going to put something in its place. It's going to be an empty place, and this world abhors a vacuum. Something is going to replace it, and good works, good deeds, and a bunch of junk has replaced the gospel as they've tried to cover it up and deny it. I talk about the churches. You say, what do you mean? I read over in, I believe it's 2 Chronicles 34, I believe, over there. Yeah, it is. And there's a good king come on the scene. Come in as a young guy. Josiah was his name. And they were trying to rebuild the house of God, and then the rubble and all. And they begin to look through it, and they found all things. They found the lost book of the law. Isn't that a terrible thing? The Word of God being lost in the rubble of the house of God. And that's a real picture of what's happened today. They've either lost the Word of God, or they perverted it and changed it till it's unrecognizable to make it easy on those that want an easier way to go than what God says. But old Josiah got mad about that thing, didn't he? You read the story. He went in and cleaned out the Sodomites. He went in and got things fixed, brother, when he saw the condemnation of the Word of God on what had happened. But of all things, for the Word of God to be lost in the house of God, what a sad commentary, but still true in many cases today. You know, truth is that God may be uncovering the gospel a little bit extra in our day. We hoped after the election there'd be some change. I'll be honest with you, I think the president's done all he could do under the attack he's under. I'm going to say it again. I wouldn't elect him as my pastor. I wouldn't even want him as my Sunday school teacher. But if God's going to use him as a sword in God's hand, fine. I'll pray for him on it. Amen. You say, I don't like that. Don't come no more. We'll give your seat to somebody else. Yeah, you're in a different church this morning. Different. We want to stick by what is right. And I want to tell you, I've seen so much cover up to hide the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. A lot of folks are afraid of this book, aren't they? Preacher, you ever got on an airplane and wanted an extra seat? Now, if you fly Southwest, by the way, did y'all see the one the motor come off of? They like to not got it back on before I needed it to come home on. That well may have been the one I flew up on. I'm not sure. But on Southwest, you don't have your seats assigned. And if you want to be mean and you want extra room, you take the Bible out and you lay it in the seat next to you. That'll be the last seat on the plane somebody will sit on. That's mean, but it's the truth. I've done it a few times. That's how I know. I am mean sometimes. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. But the truth is, they're afraid of the book. Afraid of the book. And yet it's the very answer to all their problems. It's the one that can tell them how to get things fixed and how to have the right kind of life. And if you got the right kind of life and the right kind of homes, you'll have the right kind of government, which is what we need so bad. Amen. But God may be uncovering some things. You know, I went home Saturday for noon and caught a big part of the Barbara Bush funeral on the TV. How many of you did see some of that? That's quite a few hands. I want to say to you, it would not be by type church. And they read from other versions, but I was thankful God got the gospel across in that funeral. He really, really got a witness in. I was proud of some of the newsmen on Fox News, which is about all I would watch. But on Fox News, there was two or three of the men. I used this statement more than one time. She trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. That statement got in there, and I thought, praise God. I don't know how many million might have been watching, but God was uncovering the gospel there to a whole lot of people, and I thank God for that. You know, God's going to win in the end. All the cover-up man can muster, he's still going to win. Man tries to invent all the things he can to cover up his sin, but the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. And that mercy is still offered. God is not going to leave himself without a witness. And no matter how dark it gets, he's going to still have light shining somewhere. And he shined some light on that funeral. And I was very proud of that. I know it was hid among the rituals and the meaningless actions of a lot of junk. But the truth was still getting out. Still getting out. And I praise the Lord for that. The whole world could hear. They even sang Amazing Grace. That tells the story. That really tells the story. I praise the Lord for it. I don't know if any of you, how many of you went to the junior senior banquet Friday night? Anybody in here? Several of you? Well, I expect the principal to. But there were several there were several that did. But if you missed it, they had great decoration, great food, a great time. And they had one of our boys, he's not a boy anymore, he's a preacher man, but he graduated our college. It spoke to us. Brother Mike Carringer spoke to us Friday night. And he told this, so I'm going to tell it since none of you were there. He was up in Tallahassee, governor, capital, all that business. We had sixth grade. Well, they wouldn't be in here right now, but the sixth graders, our sixth grade group had gone up there. And Brother Carringer had gone up there separate from them, but they bumped into each other around the Capitol there, and the kids recognized him, and they came to him and was talking to him. And here's the preacher, Brother Mike. One of the governor's assistants saw the kids come to Brother Carringer and talking to him, and she asked him, why's the kids coming to you? And he said, well, I preach down there in the chapels. That's Landmark. I know Landmark. And so pretty soon she invites him to come eat lunch with the governor and the whole crowd. And he sits there at the table, and the governor has him ask the blessing. And he said, I prayed the gospel, and you can do that sometime. And he said, after I prayed the gospel, the governor came to me and thanked me for doing that, for sharing the gospel in the prayer. God still has his ways. When he wants to, he can do something unusual. And he did in that case, and he still does. The truth is that God is pulling the mask off of some things today. There's a little bit more happening than what you just see on the fake news. The truth of the matter is God has given a witness. Maybe it's the last witness for these last days. I don't know. But the church is not dead. It is not whipped. The real house of God, the real Bible-believing people are still out there, and they're still getting souls saved, and they're getting the job done. And if you come today and think we are dying off, no, we're not. We're the winners, whether you know it or not. Yeah, I've read the back of the book. I know how it turns out. Do you ever do that when you were reading a novel? Skip over to see how the hero made in the end because you couldn't wait. He was in a heap of trouble. We may be in a heap of trouble, but brother, the end's going to be great. You know what the psalmist said? He said, make me to know mine end and measure my days. Oh, yeah. The truth is, folks, the folks that know their end are the only people that have peace. Think about it. Somebody said a man is not ready to live until he's ready to die. And you'll never be ready to die until you have peace with God and know that you're saved. Oh, yeah. I hate to say it, but the gospel's hid. And what Paul say, 2 Corinthians 4:3, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know who the lost are? It's people that don't know their end. It's people that walk in darkness. It's people the world tries to kind of put to sleep so they won't be concerned. If you're here today and you're unsaved, the world will give you another program to follow. They'll give you another pill to swallow. That's right, to keep you asleep until it's too late. You see, the answer for that emptiness inside, the answer for that conviction inside, the answer for that lack of peace inside is the gospel. You're in a place where we uncover the gospel. We present it to you. We tell you the good news that Jesus loved you and died for you and paid for every sin you'll ever commit on the cross of Calvary. That's the best news. You're not going to get that in the doctor's office unless a Christian doctor witnesses to you. You're not going to get a prescription written out. The truth of the matter is, this is God's prescription. And it'll give you peace where nothing else will. I remember reading what a psychiatrist said many years ago. And by the way, I don't have a whole lot of, they're not high on my totem pole. They say the highest rate of suicides, stats, is psychiatrists. So why do I want him to come, you know, tell me something, lay on his couch and him tell me something? But the truth is, this one psychiatrist said, what's wrong with America is that enough folks don't visit an old-fashioned altar. He's talking about getting real peace, peace from God. Victory in the heart. He's talking about getting a strength that'll take us through the struggles and the disappointments and the heartbreaks. That's what he was talking about. You see, that's what's been covered up. Covered up for my kids in school, covered up in a lot of liberal churches. But my job and your job is to uncover the truth and help people with it and share what God's answer is. And it's still the best answer there is. You know, when the gospel's hid, it's hid those that need it the most, those that are lost. Jesus warned here in the text about the leavening of the Pharisees, the deception. He called it hypocrisy. They were trying to put burdens on the common man that they didn't carry themselves. And they were trying to hide the truth from the common man. And the difference today in having peace is knowing your end, and that end is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way you're going to have peace. You know, the gospel is not hidden. This is it. Cover to cover, you can find the gospel. And sometimes so very plain. Somebody said, if I knew how, God wants to tell you how. He don't want to hide it from you. He wants you to know. If I were to look over in Romans chapter 10, listen to what it says. It says, but what saith it? And he's quoting back in the Old Testament. The word is nigh thee. Now listen, God didn't hide it from you. He made it nigh, near you. In other words, it's not lost. It's something you can see. It's available. It's not covered. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul is saying here, the letter to the Romans, it's not hid. It's not covered. It's nigh. It's nigh. And here's what it is. Listen to it close. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not hope so, maybe so, but shalt be. Shalt be saved. Then he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Somebody says, why does the preacher give an invitation, invite folks to come down the aisle so you can do what this verse says? With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you come down the aisle, you're saying in front of everybody else, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. It says in the next verse, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You say, I believe on him. Then you're not ashamed of him, are you? God wants you to confess him. Jesus said, whosoever confess me before men, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You see, all around you, including the preacher, are people that have confessed Jesus Christ we have trusted him, what he did on the cross to pay for our sins, and we have a peace then that it's all right. I was talking with a man, well, I think maybe just last night, and he said something like this, which would be true of all of us. He said, there's a lot of things I've done I wish I hadn't have done and ashamed of, but he said, one thing I know, when I stand before God, every one of those sins was paid for on the cross. Well, he's dead right. It's all paid. And because it's paid, we can face God with joy and not with fear. We can have peace as we walk around waiting for our turn to face God comes. And we have that peace because Jesus took care of it. He is the peacemaker. He is the one that paid for our sins, that we can stand before God as though we never sinned, justified. That's amazing, but that's what he offers. That's why we call it a gift, because he paid for it all. It is the gift of God, the scripture says, not of works lest any man should boast. I couldn't earn it, but Jesus earned it for me. Wonderful, wonderful truth that we have. And that brings the greatest peace that you can speak of. But it's nigh. It's not hard. It's nigh. If I read the preceding verses, it would say this. You don't have to say, he's saying this to us, you don't have to ask who shall descend into the deep, that is, to go down and find Christ. You don't have to say who's going to go up and ascend into heaven to bring Christ down. No, he says it's not that. It's nigh thee. He came to us. We couldn't go to him. He came to us to make it possible that we can go to him because he paid the way for us. Can you understand that wonderful, wonderful truth that he paid it all? All you can do to the gift of salvation is say yes or no. Don't let the world cover it up. Don't let them hide the wonderful truth from you. Whatever they put in your head, whether it started in school, whether it's something on the job or in college or somewhere else, don't let them cover up the saving truth. Get free of that. The Bible says you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. It'll set you free from all the wrong philosophies and ideas of mankind and give you a peace. When you come to the place, you know, whatever happens to me, I'm in God's hands. He's paid it all. And when I get to heaven, I'm going in because Jesus paid my entrance. He paid my way. He opened the door. No other way. Can you say that today? Do you have the peace in your heart that if you died today, be ushered right into heaven? The funeral was a good testimony, better than I ever expected it would be. And I'm hoping that God's Spirit will use some of those statements. Barbara Bush's hope of heaven was not that she was a first lady, not that she was a good human being wanting to help others. It was Jesus Christ alone, and he's your only hope today. I hope you know him. I hope he's yours. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you lift that hand as a testimony? Aren't you joyful if you can? Can you remember when you couldn't lift it? I can. Now I remember the difference. Lady was singing about conviction. Oh, yes. Think you may put them down. Are you here today? I'm going to pray. I won't come to you. I won't call your name, but I'd like to be thinking about you as I pray. Would you lift your hand and say, preacher, I don't have that peace. I don't have Jesus. I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you slip that hand up for prayer all over the building, the back, just up and down? Could some preacher stand at your funeral and say, he or she knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Could they say that in honesty? Have you ever confessed him as your Lord and Savior? You could do it right now. You could do it as we sang a verse of invitation song. First, let's stand for prayer. Father, we do come to you. Lord, we thank you for the day that the gospel was uncovered. It was no longer hid. We understood, and it answered the deep urge and the deep desire and the deep conviction that I had in my very soul. And Father, there's somebody here probably this morning or in radio land that has that same need, and I pray for them right now. I pray they'd open their heart and trust Christ and see He loved them while they were yet a sinner and died for them on the cross of Calvary and rose again for their justification, and to receive Him is to go to heaven on what He done, not on what we can't do. I pray You'd bless the invitation. I pray not one would leave the building lost. I pray if it be Your precious will that the Holy Spirit would convict and let the light of the gospel in. The world's trying to cover it up, Father, but I thank You that You're uncovering it seemingly a little extra here in these last few days. And I pray not one would leave today without letting the Lord Jesus in their heart. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ, will you come? Maybe God's asked you to do something else. Whatever He's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as I